I was thinking while the choir sang, and y'all didn't come this morning. I hope you show up here tonight. I love going to church. Well, I love it when he shows up, don't you? And we sure are blessed to be in a country this morning that where he still shows up. And I'm glad we've got a facility such as this. You know something? This is, you have to agree, this is one of the prettiest facilities I've ever walked in. But you know something? With no Holy Ghost, it's just another facility. Without the love of Christ, it's just another old dead Baptist church. Without the preaching of the gospel, then it's just a place you'd come and leave just how you come. But I'm glad I've got a church this morning that I can go to. My brothers and sisters in Christ, and enjoy the most blessed friend I've ever known. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been good to me. I don't know why. He had saved something like me. But I know He did. And so I'm grateful this morning what the Lord's done for me. I thank Him one day, come where I was, died on a cross for my sins and your sins. And all those disgusting things that I was caught up in and doing. The lifestyle I was living. Jesus sure does make a difference. And so if He ever moves in down where you live, He'll make a difference. And I praise Him and I thank Him today. In your Bibles, if you'd turn with us this morning over in the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 6. I need to make this way of announcement. There will be a bridal shower here this evening for Sister Meredith. 5 o'clock. Don't forget that. I don't want to forget that. If you'd stand with us today for the honoring of the Word of God found over in the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 6. You glad you're here this morning?
Amen.
Did you just come because you had to come to church? Are you glad to be here?
Amen.
Well, what about turn around and tell folks you're glad you're here and be genuine about it this morning? Tell them. And if you ain't glad, don't lie about it. Just hush and don't lie, but tell them if you are glad. Now, I don't know how to do this no other way than what I got to do. Just quit coming to one. Get involved in one. It'll help you this morning. Somebody say amen right there. Well, the Bible said in the book of 2 Kings, reading in chapter number 6 today, verse 1, the Bible said, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us, or it's got too little." Boy, I love it when you get in a place and it gets real little with the saints of God. Nothing like closeness. He said, "Let us go, we pray thee, to Jordan. Take thence every man a beam and let us make us a place there where we may dwell." And he answered, "Go ye." And one said, "Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants." And he answered, "I will go." So he went with them. When they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and he said, "Alas, Master, for it was borrowed." And the man of God said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick, cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, "Take up to thee," and he put out his hand and took it. Thank you for standing this morning. Correctly reading, we've read in 2 Kings 6, verses 1 through 7. You'll notice here that there was a school of prophets. There was a granddaddy preacher that was raising preachers named Elisha. He had made a place there for a preacher school. And it got real tight, got real narrow. More was coming than maybe what they expected. And so he said, "This is what we need to do. We'll start cutting down trees and we'll build another place." The Bible said they went down toward Jordan and they cut down wood as a clearing trees. One individual was cutting a beam, the Bible said, and the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, "Alas, Master, it was borrowed." Now, I could preach this morning, and it'd be a pretty good topic on flying off the handle. You know, a lot of you fly off the handle real easy. I don't know about you, but my goodness, they something make me fly off the handle. Some Baptists make me fly off the handle. Oh, they do. They walk in and think that they've done you a privilege for coming down to where you preach at. But honey, let me tell you something. God deserves all of our honor and all our praise today. Oh my, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm easy to fly off the handle. Sometimes crazy drivers make me fly off the handle. You ever notice these folk that you late for church and they pull right out in front of you and they go about 45 yards and they stop their car like they're driving a tractor trailer and they swing wide and they turn in a driveway. And you think, couldn't you have waited till I got by you? Make you want to do something ugly. Oh, I can tell some of you never been there. You just ain't drove around Bowden long enough. But I don't know about you. Sometime in my marriage, I love to fly off the handle. Can I get a witness anywhere this morning? Sometimes she makes me fly off the handle. What about you? Oh, yeah, go. Now, you little old hen-pecked rascal, just sit right there right now. I mean, sometimes she make me want to fly off the handle. And then I don't know about y'all. Sometimes my young'uns make me want to fly off the handle. And I've noticed this, sometimes I make her fly off the handle. But that's not what I want to preach about this morning. I want to preach on this simple thought. Getting back what you lost. Getting back what you lost. I notice a lot of times that in our working endeavors, I want you to notice that this man now, he pulled an axe out, and it's a terrible thing. It wasn't his axe. It was borrowed. And so I don't know really where he got it, but I do realize that he didn't have what he needed, so somebody gave him something to do the work. And as he began to start doing his work, he lost productivity. The work stopped, no doubt. I've noticed a lot of times that we get so busy in our working that we take time to stop and adjust things that get loose. Now, any of you men know this. If you've ever swung an axe, any at all, you've noticed that there's a key in the end of that axe handle, and you better keep an eye on it Because if not, that axe head gets loose. And you got to keep things adjusted. Is anybody here this morning? You see, I've noticed that I've never seen an axe head all of a sudden come off unless first it got loose. A lot of times we get loose in our living, don't we? Oh, we do. I mean, the day that the Lord saves us, it just seems like that we're in the straight and narrow and we're so glad we got saved. And I mean, all of a sudden, though, then all of a sudden the feeling wears off. Can I tell you this morning, I'm not saved by feeling, I'm saved by faith. Now thank God, the faith I got, there's some feeling comes with it. But I'm not saved because I felt something one day. Honey, faith is faith. It's believing the unseen of what the Lord Jesus Christ done for you on an old rugged cross. It's when God comes to you and convicts you of your sins, and by faith you reach up, and faith and grace comes together, and old time salvation is manifested, and you can't do what you used to do. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are becoming new. Gets loose, and we don't take time to stop and adjust. I don't know about you, but this week, me and my wife was fortunate enough to go on some resting time, but I noticed about the third day that some things was getting loose about. And I got to looking back and I got to thinking when we landed back yesterday, first thing I do, I said, you know, some said, I got to go get caught up on my praying. It's amazing to me what you'll alter every morning. If you'll get out of it, how loose you'll get through the day. So I come last night and I tightened that handle down out yonder in an altar about praying. Oh my, isn't it amazing how we don't stop and take time to adjust things in our life? We see things in our family becoming loose and we don't stop and we don't adjust them. Can I tell you, Daddy, it is your responsibility this morning to make adjustments to your family of what God's wanting you to do in this walk of life. For there is another world that's a-coming to us one day. It's not her responsibility to be seeing about the house and the children raise. It's your responsibility, Daddy. Shake that head this morning. It's your responsibility. And we ought to take time to tighten things up when they get loose around the house. Oh, in our lives individually. Now, this axe head got loose and this axe head was loaned. But aren't you glad that this axe head was lifted? It was in the bottom of a place that nobody else could get to. And he said, hey, let's cut us down a stick. The Bible said it reached that stick in there and the iron did swim. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't even want a liberal in our parking lot this morning. I believe that there was a fish that swallowed a man. I believe this iron did swim. I believe God spoke to it and said, get off the bottom, and it swam. Can I tell you one blessed day, there was a stick of Calvary stuck toward where I was. I stuck in the bottom of a pool of sin. But by the grace of God, when I seen that stick and He pointed it my way, I'm glad it swam to the Lord by the good Holy Ghost and He lifted me. I'm glad He's still in the lifting business. But you'll notice that He got something back. Have you ever lost something and when you found it, you were so glad you got it back? And isn't this amazing? We don't appreciate what we got till we've lost it. I could just imagine thinking about that iron did swim and hit that stick. He pulled that thing and just like me and you. No doubt he couldn't believe what he had back. Wouldn't it be a blessing this morning if you could leave this service and you had something back that you had lost? Amen. Wouldn't it be a blessing that you could walk in your house today and you walked in your house with something that you had lost? Wouldn't it be a blessing to come back to church tonight and have something bringing with you that you had lost? I want to say, first of all, we ought to ask God for our faith back. The Bible said that the just shall live by faith. And I want to put this in there on the outline this morning. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you need your faith built today, I can tell you where you can build it. It's in a King James Bible. Faith cometh by hearing. If your faith is weak today, it's because you're neglecting reading the Word of God. Some of you come and you say, well, Brother Ken preaches to us 3 times a week. That's not enough. We need daily Bible study in our lives. We need our Bible to be our companion. Hey, most of you know where your remote control is, but do you know where your Bible is? Well, it's got quiet. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so that lets me say, well, preacher, we done heard all them messages you've preached. I'm glad you're getting it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Just because you sung Amazing Grace, you didn't tear it out of your book and didn't sing it no more. So I've got some messages that God's used and worked. I'm going to keep a preaching till He says don't preach them no more. That's all I know to do. But now I'm talking about getting something back you've lost. We need our faith back. Could we look this morning at a great principle in Daniel chapter number 3? We looked there briefly last week, but I want to expound on a few verses there today. In Daniel chapter number 3, give you a little background. The Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. My, what Bible names. And we look at these children in verse number 14. Remember, they had a great position. They had a great promotion, and things was going well down where they worked. But all of a sudden, the old earthly king, he wanted a little glory about what was going on. And so the Bible said in verse number 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said to them, is it true? He said, I want to know what I'm hearing. Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do you not serve my gods, little g, nor worship the golden image which I've set up? Now, if you be ready at that, what time you hear the sound of the cornet, all of these things, and then look right here. Reminds me of a Baptist church today, and all kinds of music. You say, well, we're going to have a contemporary service early, and we're going to have a traditional late, because we don't want to offend nobody. Let me tell you what you're offending everybody. Some folks need to realize what side they on. They need to realize what kind of flag they're flying. Well, we don't want to offend nobody. Well, if you've got an early crowd and a late crowd, contemporary and traditional, you're offending both crowds. Well, it got quiet. I'll run on the next verse. And so he said all kinds of music. And he said, if you fall down and worship the image which I've made, well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And he's got a question. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Now, I've seen something right there I've never seen. They would never know who our God is if things stayed good for us all the time. But I don't see where these boys now have tucked tail and run. I don't see just because it got hard serving their God, all of a sudden they've changed positions. Let's watch what happens. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered. They said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, he said, we've got no hesitation. He said, we want to tell you right now what we think. And you know, all the time, that's not bad for somebody to tell you what they think. It's not always bad to tell you what they think. So we won't tell you. And this is what they said. Now watch this. He said in verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Now verse 18, but if not, you know, we need some if not faith. We need some but if not faith. He said, but if not, be it known to you, O king, we will not serve you gods nor worship the golden image which you've set up. Said, we want to go on record and let you know right now, if not. Wouldn't it be a blessing if you walked out of here today with some if not faith? Wouldn't it be a blessing if you walked out of here and said, God, I know you're able. God, I know you made every situation. I know you've allowed every situation. And whether you get me out of it or you walk me through it, I know you're able. But if not, I'm going to serve you anyway. And you know something I've noticed, those that really love Jesus, there's going to be some of them if nots come your way. To see if you really love Him like you say you love Him. Now watch what He says. He said, now we may burn, but we won't bow. And we won't bend. And we won't budge. I've heard this, preacher, why are you so narrow-minded? Because we've got a narrow road we walk on. Wide's the gate. But narrow is the way. Now, why don't you just compromise a little bit? Won't you just compromise? You know, preacher, we've all got to live. No, that's not right. We all got to die. And I'd rather die on my conviction than to live with a compromise. Can I say that one more time? Some of y'all didn't get that. It said, poof. I would rather live on my conviction than to die with a compromise any day. What are you saying? I'm saying you don't have to compromise to serve God. But if not, we're going to serve you anyway, God. Let me ask you, are you serving God for just what you can get out of Him? I love a story about David and the giant. Remember, everybody else had done tuck tail and run. And David run over there and they said, listen, ain't you heard? Said, the king, he'll give you his daughter and he'll give you all kind of nice silver and gold if you just go fight with Goliath. And he said these wonderful words, is there not a cause? He said, you ain't got to pay me to serve him. He said, I'm going to serve him because I love him. I'm going to serve Him because there's a responsibility. Do you just come to church for what you can get out of Jesus? Do you just really live for God just for the benefits? And there are benefits for serving God. But let me ask you something. What about if all the benefits dry up? And what about this money you've been tithing on? All of a sudden that old boy out there on TV told you if you'd send him something and everything would go good, but it ain't went good. What you going to do then? But if not. You know, we need a church filled with but if nots. What about I raise my youngin' up, just like you say, preacher, like that Bible said, they get out yonder in the world. You just hold on, honey. It ain't over till it's over. But if not, I serve God. He's not giving me that job. Well, but if not. We need some but if not Christians. But if not, what if it don't work out how you think it ought to? Are you still going to serve Him? When everybody else is talking about you because you dress and your youngins right and you look right and you love your Bible and maybe you get on a ship with your Bible in your hand and people say, here comes one of them Bible thumpers. Maybe you go down to Walmart and you don't look down there in the dirty book section. You go on over there to the godly living section. Is it one of them in Walmart? But if not, God said He'd put my marriage back together. Well, what about but if not? Is it going to blow you out of the church? But if not, what if it don't work out how you say? What if you lose your young? What if I have to go to the graveyard and plant one of your babies? What about but if not? My God in heaven, I buried young'uns at their little coffin. Lay up on that table. 21 years of preaching, I've seen things make me want to quit. But it's something inside me says, but if not. But if not. What about the business that you thought God is going to set and work everything out? What if He don't work it out? What about if you was 46 years old and God told you to walk out by faith? Left everything you'd ever been doing and known. And you had about 10 more years to be set. What if not? What if your wife walks out on you, Brother Randall? God forbid. But if not. Miss Karen, what if your husband walks out? But if not. Brother Chuck, that you hold in your heart. Brother Darrell, that you want so bad. And God don't allow that to come happen. What about, but if not? We need some if not. You know why our churches is empty? Because we ain't got no if not Christians. We think that we serve a God. We've got Him on our little chain and we get just what we want out of Him. And that's not how a sovereign God works. He's the God. We're the servant. He's the master. We're the clay. But if not. And I'm going to tell you something. I found out that these but if nots helped me more than if they did. You know what happened in that story? They went to the fire. Somebody say fire drill. They got in a heated fire. What about these boys preaching this health and wealth gospel on the TV that if you live for God and nobody gets sick and you have enough? They ever read Job? No man like him, fairest of these. Nobody wanted to shoot evil and fear God. Nobody like him. He lost it all in this world. He's if not Christian. I didn't think I had nothing to preach this morning. I got a lot to preach. If not, whether they say amen to you preaching, and if it ain't but three left, if not faith. Brother Tim, whether the choirs are singing and shouting or not, but if not, we're going to serve our God. Brother David, if they all got mealy mouth and looking at you cross-eyed as a polecat, just say, but if not. But if not. Oh, some of you right now, you're doing real good. Lord's blessing you good. And He does bless people. You're looking at one. But what happens when He takes it all away? You're going to throw the towel in and go home. Where, and when the devil whispers this, where's your God now? You ever heard that? Where's your God? What about that money you tithed on and you lost, preacher? The Lord giveth. And the Lord taketh away. You know something? The devil was right about something. One of the few things I've ever seen him right about, Brother Brett. He said, when I quit my job, I'd never be able to buy nothing else. He was right. Now it's all give to me.
How about that?
Ain't that amazing? Ain't that amazing, Brother Dave? Ain't that amazing? But if not. But if raised our youngins up in the house of God, now they won't serve God, well, what you going to do? But if not. Now watch this, they got in a fire. And I like this right here. Brother Dennis, watch this right here. Bible said this, but if not, He said, we'll not serve your God. So Nebuchadnezzar is full of fury. And so the Bible says this, verse 21. These men were bound in their coats, hosen, hats, and garments, and cast in the midst of the burning fire furnace. They was cast in there. Look what it said in verse 23. They fell down in the midst of the burning fire furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up to haste. In verse 25, this is what he said. Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. You know something, what fire does, it'll make you get loose. It'll turn your worship loose. Some you don't worship because everything's going too good. But honey, you let the fire get turned up. You get down there in that fire zone and you won't be minding throwing your hands up saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord." Some of you need to get your worship loosened up. Man, somebody walk in, look at you, and you sitting there, you want to raise your hand. So I don't know how many times in years and years of preaching and pastoring, I've heard somebody say, "I wanted to shout." Why didn't you?
Amen.
Well, we ain't got no flags up, no shouting. We got some up, no pouting, but no shouting. It's okay to say, "We love you, Jesus." It's all right to say, "Hallelujah." Some of you say, "Hallelujah." It's all right to say, "Hallelujah." That's Bowden vernacular. We was out there last week and some folks from Washington, she said, "Where are you from?" I said, "I'm out from the Alabama line." She said, "I knowed you wasn't from Washington." What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it's all right to say hallelujah. You go down to the ball game, do you see no shouting down there? Quit looking at the floor. We ain't praying yet. Oh, I think we're to go to church and be reverent. That's why the charismatics get in our children. Because their meetings are exciting. I tell you what excites your children. See, you get excited. It would. It'd do you good to get excited. I'd love to see you get so excited you'd embarrass the far out of yourself. Got loose in the fire. You ever notice when fire comes how loose you get in worship? You don't care who's sitting around. You'll throw your little old hand up, say, "Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus." Get your prayer loosened up. Oh, it'll get a lot of things loose down in there. Wouldn't it be a blessing to get your faith back this morning? I mean, really, faith. Why are you serving God? Do you love Him? We live in a world of just, you know, have it your way. We forgot about them old standards that our forefathers have died and laid the foundation for us. Honey, Baptists were shouting for Church of God ever come on the scene. Thank God for our Church of God brothers. I'm not a real denominational guy. I'm a Baptist because I have them convictions to be. I believe that our standards line up to our Bible more than anything I've seen. That's why I'm a Baptist. It is a church. It ain't a community center. You can shake your head right there. That right there might have chapped you real good, but I done said it again. It ain't a community center. Community center is something you pay dues to and go in and check in and make a tea time at. This is a church. The called out ones, the born again by the grace of God. You say y'all not promote that, honey. I promote everything. If I did, I'm like a hound dog. If I sense that you don't like something I preach, you messed up. Because I'm going to preach it longer. This ain't a community center. It's a church house. I smell something over here. I smell some mean people. But if not, you'd think I was whining if I could tell you the year and a half I've had since I quit my job. This church has been so good to me. I will back up. God's been so good to me. I was going to Tennessee to preach a meeting one night, and I got a phone call. I was so embarrassed to call my wife. Tell her nearly everything I'd had, I'd entrusted another man. He got it all. The devil said, "Where's your God, preacher?" Where's your God now? Some of you walk through some hard times and the devil say, "Where's your God now?" He's where He's always been. He's on the throne. Lord, I love preaching. We ought to get our faith back. Some of you used to believe God would save you young'uns. Now you don't think you can. Some of you thought you could have your marriage put together, but now you don't think you can. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Wouldn't it be a blessing to get something back you'd lost? Get your faith back. Secondly, get your fire back. It's a terrible thing to not have fire. Oh, how we need fire. You know something, this is what amazed me. I don't know if you understand this or not. We'll be closing down shortly. Revelation 3. Why don't you look something right here this morning? We ought to get a fire back. That's what Jesus said. Revelation 3:14, we're in this church age, folks. We're right here this morning. This is where we're living. Revelation 3:14, we're living. And then Revelation 4, in verse 1, we're leaving. Wish I could talk more about leaving, but I got to talk about staying. He said to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write that. That means messenger, that word angel there. God's always had a messenger to His church, always. He said, 15, I know your works. You ain't hiding nothing from me. This is what He said. He said, I know that thou art neither cold nor hot, but I would that thou wert cold or hot. In other words, they look pretty good. But He said, there's a problem. You just on middle ground. He said, you're lukewarm, church. This is what He said. Now what? He said, I would that you were cold or hot. We need our fire back. We need our fire to testify. Some of you, when we first started, I had to jump in to get a place to preach. I've heard this a lot of times. I wanted to stand up and say something. Why didn't you? It's okay. It's fine to tell what the Lord's done for you. I don't hear nothing about Aunt Sally. I don't hear nothing about no cabin on the hillside down there when you get to Grandma's house. Well, if you got something to say for the Lord, stand up. The Bible said, let the redeemed the Lord say so. He said, I want you to be cold or hot. He said, I don't want you to be in between. Let me ask you something. Now, I don't want to be a smart aleck. Scale 1 to 10, 10 hot. Where are you as a Christian? Well, I like preacher, but I didn't come for all this. We need our fire back. Fire's amazing to me. Any of y'all ever watch something burn up? Let me ask you this. How many people's ever seen a fire and went to it? Can I see your hand? It drew you. I want to see your hand. Well, not many of you get too enthused about nothing, do you? I'm going to tell you something. I was a kid. I seen 5,000 bales of hay go up that burnt for a week. And I was a little old boy. I'd never been out of the country much. And you can keep your opinions to yourself. they lined up for miles. I was a little old boy, barely riding a bicycle. That thing caught a fire. And it scared me. I'd never seen that many car lights come from town. It scared me to death. I said, "Daddy, what are they doing?" He said, "Son, they're coming to watch the fire burn." You know something that was amazing to me? They called every fire truck that town had out there. Ain't nobody yet come to say, "I come to watch the firemen." But I come to watch the fire. Well, wouldn't it be a blessing if our church would just catch on fire spiritually? Good church like a good restaurant. You'll tell somebody about it if you're getting what you need. But I can tell you one thing, buddy. You go down there to the place and you pay a big fee in it, your dog wouldn't eat it. You ain't telling no. You're going to tell everybody how bad it is. Any of y'all ever been to the top of the river, Anniston, Alabama? Praise God. Them turnip greens and slaw and that little old bitty black skillet of cornbread. You can just pull the window shades down and leave me alone. We took Miss Bonnie. Y'all remember Miss Bonnie? Y'all remember Miss Bonnie, my pastor's wife? Y'all remember Miss Bonnie? Let me see anybody's hand. Remember Miss Bonnie? We took her there one night. They brought them little old pans out there and throw down in front of her. She said, "Lord, they feed me in a dog pan." I said, "Miss Bonnie, don't pass judgment yet." Lord, I never will forget what that woman said. She grabbed a hold of some of that stuff. She said, I said, "Miss Bonnie, it's eating good in a dog pan." I wish we'd get excited about where we go to church. I wish we'd get excited about our God, our Jesus. Tell our children it is fun being a Christian. I wish we'd get our fire back. And I wish y'all had the patience to let me preach that message on how to get your fire back. But I know you don't. Some of you done looking now, down there where you just go eat lunch, you're afraid somebody's going to get ahead of you. I'm going to need to do like our good black brethren. Get out about 2:30 and know we've been to church. Lord, about time preacher gets lathered up and raise his voice, y'all looking like, "Why did I come here?" Wouldn't it be a blessing to get you fired? Can I ask you something now? I'm closing. When's the last time you testified in our church? Well, tell me something then. Why did you used to and you don't now? He said, "I'm the Lord and I change not." How come some of you used to sing in the choir and you don't now? How come some of you used to come to choir practice and don't now? What about visitation? Brother Darrell going to lead the visitation team. How many showed up? One. How many we preach here? 300? So not to me, fire's died. And we're just human. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think we'll get fire back and you's preaching. And the Holy Ghost used the Word of God to build a fire back in your heart. I can harp, I can come to your house, I can run every tire I got off the truck until the Holy Ghost does something in you, ain't going to be no fire burning. A lot of you think I'm meddling. I ain't, I'm preaching. Did you know Sunday school time in our church is probably the best time that you'll ever spend with Jesus? And I don't know why, but I just know it is. I done lost my Bible, but I still got my outline. Wouldn't it be a blessing to get our fire back? Get excited again about serving Jesus. Let me ask you this now. Let me share if you come. It'll make me hurry if you'll come. When's the last time you felt it burning your heart? I mean, when's the last time you was excited that it was Sunday? And you can say what you want to say, honey. This is one of the best churches in the Southeast. It's not because I'm pastoring it. I'm just telling you, God's at this place. How many people you invited to your church this week? Sheep get sheep. Shepherd don't make sheep. Sheep goes and gets other sheep. I don't know about you, but God sure has been good to me. I think, and I can't, I'm not picking Him out this morning. I'm not. God help me. But I think a lot about Miss Noel, Brother Felton. A lot of people come to our church and say, who's them little boys? I said, his daddy and mama got a story to tell. I think about Miss Brooke a lot. Jehovah Witness. I think about old Brother Wendell a lot. Isn't God good? I think about these little ones are cutting their hair wrong a lot. Lord, it's a privilege to have a fire burning in your heart. Daddy, some of you need to get your family back. You need to be the man God wants you to be and not just think this preacher's harping on you to get your hide to church. But it's your God-given responsibility to have your children under the preaching of the Word of God, under a man of God that'll lead your family to God. Your responsibility, not hers. Our children's going to do what we do. I want to ask you now this invitation. Brother David, what's our number today? I want to ask something. You need anything back today? This altar's open.